Planet Rock backstage at the Ramblin' Man Fair 2016. It's day two. About to chat to a guy who is going to be taking the stage. Their first time in the UK, literally just a couple of nights ago at the Borderline in London. This band have been together almost 50 years. They are the Kentucky Headhunters, and I'm very pleased to say joining us, Richard, how are you?
Paul, you know how I'm doing. I'm just tickled to death to be here. I mean, we all know that I've been a chicken for 50 years and wouldn't get on an airplane. And, of course, thanks to my son, John Fred, and Blackstone Cherry, they've been coming over here so many years. And of course, the U.K., especially all of Europe, but the U.K. has just wrapped their arms around them and welcomed them, overseas. And, John Fred, I mean, once the boys saw that something was going on, they'd say, Daddy, you gotta come over with us. You guys got to come over. You got to come and see us play. And, of course, I wouldn't fly. So this is a twofold sweet experience because not only were we able to be a part of the festival today, but it allowed me the opportunity to see Blackstone Cherry, whom, they started out in their old farmhouse. A lot of people know the story, and I was able to nurture them and actually wrote and produced their first album and then co-wrote everything with them on the second album. So I've been very close to them, and I feel like it's maybe just a second coming of rock and roll for the Headhunters. You know, we got to put our input into what they were doing a little bit and give them some advice. And so now I finally get to see them in action in the UK.
And, of course, here in the UK, arena headliners, festival headliners have already headlined Download twice here at Ramblin' Man Fair. So to see your boy doing this in a different country must be a dream come to you, not just after the band, of course, but for you too.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, Paul, good Lord, when we saw the Beatles on black and white TV in 64, we knew we wanted to come to England and play. And so to have the kids see that, really, in all honesty, you want to see your children do better than you've done. I mean, a good parent would. And so I never really thought of it in a light that we would ever even come over. When I was seeing all the success, I would get on the social YouTubes and all this and look at them. I said, well, isn't that great, And never knowing that one day we would be over here with them. So it's a good feeling.
Well, as I said, you played your first UK show at the Borderline, a very sweaty, small venue in London in midweek, a two-hour set, and I could tell from the moment you got on stage, in fact, before you got on stage, I could tell by the look in your eyes, by the vibe backstage, you were just dying to get up there. And when you did, well, it was just amazing.
Well, thank you, sir. We better be good after playing that many years, huh? But, I guess that there's a kinetic energy and a kind of it goes unsaying between the four of us, and that we just kind of know what's going to happen next. Even if it's a goof up, it's like we all know it's going to happen, so we just go with the goof up and make it work. And of course, we learned that from doing so much jamming over the years. And I see the boys taking on that style too, Babel, and it's just it's something you can't really explain. The Stones have it, all good bands, Aerosmith, the Beatles had it, obviously. Any great band, I think, they have this unknown thing that they don't even know what it is, that they know what's coming and what the other one's thinking at all times. And that's how we're able to change gears so smoothly.
It's very organic, and it's very, like you say, telepathic almost. Like, right. One guy knows what the next is going to do. And like you say, if something does go wrong, you just know what you're going to do next.
Well, there's a good side of that with the music, and there's a bad side because we're so used to riding on a tour bus all the time. So now, and we can get away from each other from the front to the back of the bus for a minute, get off of each other's nerves. And now we're cramped in a splinter van over here. And so not only do we know what they're thinking musically, we can also smell what they're thinking in other terms, and that's where it gets hairy, because before somebody even says anything, we'll say, what did you say? I hadn't said anything, but I'm fixing to. You just beat me to the punch, so it's kind of funny. But I mean, like Blackstone Cherry, we all get along marvelously, and there aren't any eggshells to walk on out here, and I think that's what makes another point that makes a great band, is to be able to not only connect as musicians, but as friends and people, and have a common loyalty and respect for each other.
I think today when you take to the stage here at Rambling Man, a lot of people won't be familiar with it musically, as in seeing you, but they will be familiar with you because obviously from the start of Blackstone Cherry, sure. The guys have pretty much worn their hearts on their sleeve. We know their background, and we know that without you guys, there would be no Blackstone Cherry.
And we would not be in England without Blackstone Cherry, so touche, but yeah, that's right. I mean, and you know, though, Paul, I look back, and I've seen a lot of young bands come up in, you know, 50 years, I mean, in different parts of the country and that sort of thing, and I have to say this about them, that I wish I could say it about us, but I can't. They're the most concisive, driven, any words you want to use like that, they just, the drive of them is blows me away. Because I mean, even when the first day they got together, you know, the three of them had been jamming a little bit, John Fred, and Chris, and then they met Ben. And the very day that he came down there and met them, he went back to the house and got his amp, and they stayed up all night and started writing songs. And it takes that kind of drive and the desire to want to do something like that. But, yeah, they probably done something. We probably kept them from stepping on a few poo-poos or something along the way, though, because there's one thing for sure, in that many years that we've done it, and the record deals came and went. And so we've made all the mistakes that you could just about make. And so we were able to say, no, don't go down that way. Go this way. And so I'm sure that helped them quite a bit.
The other thing that you've instilled into the band as well, and that is playing for all to see, is the humility, because these guys, like you, are the same people that I met 10 years ago when they first came over. They may be an arena headliner, they may be a festival headliner, but they're still down-to-earth Southern boys.
Yeah. Because we'll whoop them if they don't. No, no. That's the first thing. After you see if you can play, that was my requirement always for our band, and always for them, you have to instill that in someone, because, you know, Paul, it doesn't cost a dime to smile. And there are a lot of great bands out there, but, you know, it's so, unfortunately, a lot of people, when they have a little success, the old saying is it goes to their head, but it's really didn't go to their head. It went to their bottom, you know, because that's where it needs to be if that happens, you know, not in your head. And I think that we've been able to jerk a knot in all their tails and keep them. You know, I do recall one instance that I'll tell on them, is you'll get a big kick out of how they actually learned that lesson, too, to look after one another. Was when they first started, John Fred had, I'd take my truck, and he had ridden with Ben down to the practice house. Well, all the other boys had gone, and Ben left John Fred. So I called him. I said, Ben, I want you back out here right now. He said, why? Because I said, you left one of your compadres alone. I said, you can't do that in a band. He came back, got John Fred, took him on, you know, and they never, none of them ever did that again. But you got to learn, you know, that there's a lot more than just picking up a guitar or a set of drumsticks and, you know, going out there and bashing and banging for people and the pretty girls, because it won't last without all that other stuff. I mean, it might, but you'll be miserable, you know, and I know plenty of rock bands that, you know, they don't even want to walk in the same trailer with each other. I mean, we live for that. And the boys do too, you know. Think so.
Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure to see and hear both of you guys here at the Rambling Man Fair 2016. Pleasure catching up with you the other night too. And let's hope it's not another 50 years before we see you again.
I'll tell you what, if I can meet some nice people like you, I'm ready to come back over anytime, because you have been so gracious. You know, you didn't have to come up and really see us play the other night, because I know for a fact you had to go on air at 4 o'clock in the morning or be there. And Fred said, how's that guy going to do that? He just stayed all night with us. And I said, he's tough, man. He loves his job. You got to love it, man. Radio, rock and roll, whatever it is, you got to love it.
Richard, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Thank you.